Hey, this is Twirls, and you are listening to Radio Freak America.
Hello, this is Dr. Ted Wright, and I'm talking with W6DR, who's been in the jamming business for several years now, about 10 years, is that right?
Yeah, at least 10, yes.
And you've never really held a illegal ham call, is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, you started your operation, I believe, in Los Angeles.
Yes. In those days, I was on the air quite a bit, using a call that was not in the call book. I got along with a lot of the hams. They did not suspect a thing. And, of course, back in those days, I couldn't even spell the word jamming. I didn't know what it meant or anything.
When did you move to the Bay Area and get involved? You can maybe tell us how that started.
That's when I really, really got introduced to Gary Kerr, who had been a friend of my friend. And Gary introduced me to the fine art of jamming.
That was on the 682 repeater. You used to get on there and talk normally to people, and then you sort of degenerated into the standard practice. Is that pretty much how you see it?
Yeah, when I first got in San Francisco, I attempted to join, you know, not a repeater per se, but to join in with QSOs, and then I met Gary, and he introduced me to a certain group of people on a certain repeater who he felt deserved our undivided attention, as it would be, which resulted in a lot of touch tones and pre-recorded material and music and just noise in general.
What was his problem with NKF? Was that just he just didn't like him, or is this some sort of personal insult or something?
I'm not sure what Gary's and the others' dislike for NKF was. I really don't know. I was sort of like a sheep, and it's kind of sad to admit it, really. You know, they says, why don't you jam this guy? So I jammed this guy, you know. I always thought its main idea was just to have fun. A new era of communication. After that happened, it kind of lost its sparkle, you might say.
Go to hell.
Yes, well, we've heard examples of what was going on. Another person that was mentioned in that Westlink tape was Alan R. Vance. And I guess he had a license up to the time that he died recently. But there was an interesting incident that happened on the air. I think a neighbor was having television interference. Could you elaborate on that incident?
Yes, I don't remember the exact date, but Alan was on the air on 8-2 like he was quite frequently, sometimes legitimately and sometimes in a form of abusive language. Anyway, a neighbor was receiving TVI, television interference, from Alan's radio equipment. And the neighbor came over and asked Al if he would not cease his transmissions. Evidently, the neighbor was trying to watch TV. Al evidently said something, and the neighbor left. And then a few minutes later, the neighbor came back over. Al was sitting in a chair by his radio, and the neighbor came busting into the house through the screen door, which was unlocked, and had a knife in his hand. Al determined that his life was in danger. He pulled out a .22 caliber pistol and shot his neighbor 5 times. Alan Vance then decided to call the police, except for the fact that his telephone was out of order. He proceeded to get back on the 2282 repeater and requested assistance. Well, because of the recent jamming activity on 8-2 and Alan Vance being the subject of many puns and the source and the object of jamming, they weren't about to oblige him in any way, shape, or form. And this particular incident of him and his neighbor became one of the hottest items to hit 8-2. It probably, you'd hear people imitating gunshots, and they'd repeat the last three characters of his call, and it was just outrageous. They just, when that hit, 8-2 didn't have a prayer. It was, its days were numbered. And, well, I don't know about the other people. I hear a couple of them here and there, but the membership of 8-2 that was probably 200 or 300 members has probably completely dissipated, and the majority of them scattered throughout the band.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has been an interview with a bootlegger who uses the call W6BR, which we don't want to identify him too much. This is Ted Wright. I'm going back to Crosley Bendix at JamCon, and we're through here. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, guys? You're listening to, I think it's
F71.
Holy shit, Duel has been on a long time. So I can give you some tips about running LAN parties. One, make sure you have people that show up, and they're guaranteed to show up. Two, prepay, and let's not forget, prepay. Three, when you set it up, make sure you have a lot of power. If you don't have a lot of power, you're going to get fucked in the ass. And four,
no caps, unlimited long distance.
And it will never end, as far as you know?
No, it will never end. It will never
DJ Mollet.
The tone you will hear next will be the standard pitch.
You've been listening to Radio Freak America.
Are you giving your permission to change your long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance?
Yes.
We're giving your permission to change your local long-distance provider to Quest Long Distance, correct?
Yes.
I think Quest Unlimited plan of $30 per month for the first 12 months with unlimited residential state-to-state, in-state, and if selected local full voice calls within the United States, correct?
Whoa, for the first 12 months?
That's what it tells me.
The voicemail box you are trying to reach has been owned by Bland Inquisitor. Please check the number and try again. Thank you.
Yes, I got four bounce in the fucking bump, and then you wanna know why? Because I'm motherfucking trucking. Drug in the pocket, just like any thing. Got some fries of me, so you don't have to wait. Cause I'm a master blaster. Picking up the chest of my voice out sweet, cause it has
okay.
This is Duel, Radio Freak America. I'm joined by Bland and Mute. And we're all satisfied now.
Some more than others.
Yes. Some have gotten our workout before the show. Some will work out after the show. Okay. You listen to a cool piece at the beginning of the show. That's from Negative Land, the JamCon 84 CD. I really dig that story. Pretty crazy shit. Let's start with some in-house kind of stuff, some Bin Rev, some Radio Freak America stuff. Speaking of Bin Rev, right, Bin Rev Radio aired for the first time last night. Congratulations, Mute.
Thank you.
I actually didn't get to listen to that show because I was actually on the phone with Stank, so I didn't get to hear it. But I did. I got to hear the lost pilot episode. I've heard it twice. Very good. I loved it, so I can't wait to download this. It will be up for download soon, I was promised by Stank. That is correct, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It's his server, so I know he's going to get it up.
Now, where's it going? Yeah, that did sound good. Now, where is that going to go, by the way?
Probably, it can go to either BinRev or it can go to Stank Dog. It's his choice.
Do you guys have a special subdomain, Bland?
We've got radio.binrev.com.
There we go. That's probably where it's going to go, so we'll let everybody know. Very, very good. The pilot episode I heard, and I'm sure last night rocked. In fact, I saw some positive stuff on the boards about it already. So, dude, I'm so excited because I get to kick back. I get to just chill out and listen to some good radio. I'm very, very happy. Project Walmart Freedom is blowing the fuck up. I mean, yeah, woo, big dude. I've gotten so much shit, and I've got to start compiling it. And the first email address is going out tonight, and it's going to DJ Mollusk. He sent some good stuff, and he's got some more coming, he said. So choose your email, Addy, my friend. And that's it for the housekeeping. I want to go straight into the freak news. It's going to be... Oh, fuck. shit, where's this? I have a big article. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Wait,
lucky.
News?
Yeah, freak news. Bust it. You got the tones? Wait. Do it again. Nice. That sounds very good, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm digging up. Here it is. Okay, I got a big article for the end. It's going to be, the freak news is going to have a little different feel this time. It's going to, well, you'll see. Let me go over a couple little things here. The first one, the do not call registration, phone registration is open for the eastern part of the U.S., so check that out. And there's lots of good info about the do not call list on Stank's board. It's actually Not Theory put some good stuff up, so go find it and check it out yourself. Quest is back in the news. You know we've talked about them a lot. And why are they back in the news? Why is Quest, our friend, the telco, in the news? Why? Because they are settling again. That's right, another lawsuit. We've talked about it in the past. Colorado, millions of dollars. This one, Quest settles Arizona lawsuit for $3.75 million. If you've heard the previous shows where we talked about Quest and their settlements, you know that they were fraudulent. They were found to be fraudulent. They had horrible, horrible business practices. Fooling people, fooling customers, fooling you! And we are here to let you know about it. Phoenix, July 7th. Reuters, Quest Communications International will pay $3.75 million to Arizona and bolster its customer service practices to settle a consumer lawsuit that charged the telephone giant with defrauding Arizona customers, prosecutors said Monday. The Denver-based company admitted no wrongdoing in the settlement. That puts up, how, you know, I just, okay, fine, you don't, all right, that's our legal system, whatever. The Denver-based company admitted no wrongdoing in the settlement that puts to an end an October 2001 lawsuit that charged Quest with a range of consumer abuse, including ringing up unauthorized charges on customers' bills and frustrating attempts to remove them. Quest also was accused of failing to disclose repair, installation, and wireless charges and using false, deceptive, and misleading advertising in the state. Wow, misleading? No, never. Listen to the theme for Radio Freak America by DJ Mollusk, by the way. Listen to the theme, please. Under the deal, the company also will create a program for ongoing consumer education and services to prevent any problems in the future. Isn't that nice? Quote, Quest's concessions will improve its fundamental business practices and make it much more consumer-friendly, said Terry Goddard, State Attorney General, in a prepared statement. The settlement is an addition to the 2,140 Arizona customers who already have received undisclosed refunds or credit as part of the case. Restitution for an additional 600 customers is still being determined, officials said. Jeff Mirasola, a Quest spokesman in Arizona, said the company already has taken steps to implement changes detailed in the settlement agreement. Quest settled two other similar claims, in Colorado and Washington this year, and expects to reach a deal in Utah within 1 week. 1 week. Another one. Four lawsuits for their fraudulent practices, for fooling people, for giving them a bunch of shit. And I think, actually, we researched their practice, what they used to do, and they still do it. Okay, how about the little things? If you want to add service with Quest, call them right up. You know, you dial in your number, blah, 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 hit 1 if you want to add service, whatever. Front of the line, baby. You get service quick. Believe me, you can add service to any Quest customer you want. They don't care. They just want to add that service to that number because that's revenue, whether it's legit or not. So, you want to add service? Piece of cake will do you right now. If you want to remove service or change service? Oh, my God. I hope you got a book. I hope you got War and Peace handy, because you're going to be waiting a long time. Then, they push and push services. They don't tell... Let's say you're somebody who's not as financially stable as others, and you need good, reliable phone service at an affordable price. That sounds like a commercial. Not that they have to push it, but let you know that. You know, if you say, you know, hey, I'm kind of tight, you know, I want the best phone service I can get, you know, at the best price or the cheapest or the lowest. No, they would sell you packages. They would push the packages and not even inform you about baseline services. And then, of course, after one of the settlements, I think the one in Colorado, they changed everything. They changed their messages. Quest offers baseline packages for blah, 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 this price. Totally changed everything. So it's fairly obvious I mean, making huge sweeping changes like that, that they were fraudulent, that they were misleading people. And this is just more proof. I don't see, and that's, again, that's our legal system. They admit no wrongdoing, but they're paying $3.75 million. What the fuck? I'm not wrong, here's my car. I don't get it. Anyways, so that's Quest. And that's, I think, okay, that's the regular freak news. Now I'm going to, I've got some freak news, but I'm going to kind of change it just a little bit. And I'm going to gear it, how do I say this? Freaks have an inherent advantage. Do you guys agree? Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Freak my shit, man. I think in certain aspects in life, and again, let me know if you guys agree. I think freaks have certain advantages. And I'll ask you after I discuss some of these. The first one, this happened to me today, actually, right before the show. I got a message on my machine. Not the one from Mute. Another one. A gentleman called and announced who he was and from what company and his number, and said he was researching or checking up on the references for a certain woman, a woman's name, and then read off her social security number.
Jesus.
Yes, on my answering machine. Now, any self-respecting hacker or freak would never, ever, ever leave any kind of information at all, if a message at all, on somebody's machine that the number wasn't verified. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Definitely.
Definitely. But the man left this woman's name and her social security number, I wouldn't want to work for this motherfucker now, on my answering machine. Didn't verify the number. I mean, maybe she had an old resume with that number on it. Maybe she mistyped. Maybe he misdialed. Who knows? But it's on my machine. And freaks would know. I mean, the phone... Freaks know. Right? They know how powerful this phone is. Right? I'm putting my hands around the phone like it's an object to be worshipped. The phone is very, very powerful. Why? Because you get to... Alright, I know this is obvious, but you get to use your voice, and your voice, your mind, your voice, your social engineering skills, right? Your manipulative abilities is very, very powerful. One of the most powerful tools. Look at some of the most famous hackers, right? The most famous hacks. Social engineering.
Kevin Mitnick.
Yeah, plays a prominent role. The great Kevin Mitnick. So, the phone and the freak who uses that and who understands the system is very powerful and would know not to do the same thing that gentleman did on my answering machine today. So, one advantage that freaks have. Now, look at this next one. This is going to be a little... I won't read the whole thing, so it's a little lengthy. This was on Slashdot, and it's an article. Dissertation could be a security threat. Dissertation could be a security threat. Students' maps illustrate concerns about public information. Sean, I'm going to read a little bit here. Sean Gorman's professor called his dissertation tedious and unimportant. Gorman didn't talk about it when he went on dates because it was so boring, they'd start staring up at the ceiling. But since the September 11, 2001 attacks, Gorman's work has become so compelling that companies want to seize it, government officials want to suppress it, and Al-Qaeda operatives, if they could get their hands on it, would find a terrorist treasure map. Tinkering on a laptop wearing a rumpled t-shirt and a soul patch goatee, this George Mason University graduate student has mapped every business and industrial sector in the American economy, layering on top the fiber optic network that connects them. Yes, what this guy did, what he's doing right now for his dissertation, is mapping everything. All automated, all electronic. It even says on here, he can click on a bank in Manhattan and see who all the providers are. He can see where all the trunks are. I mean, I don't know what kind of detail he can get, but it sounds amazing. And eventually I'm looking for the part where he actually briefed some industry leaders, and he also briefed, I believe, some legislators. Let's see, la 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 la... Here we go. And when they presented them, let's see, when Gorman and Schindler presented their findings to government officials, McCarthy recalled, they said, "Psh, let's scarf this up and classify it," meaning not let anybody look at it. And when they, meaning Gorman and his partner, presented them, meaning his findings, at a forum of chief information officers of the country's largest financial services companies, clicking on a single cable running into a Manhattan office, for example, and revealing the names of 25 telecommunications providers, the executives suggested that Gorman and Schindler not be allowed to leave the building with the laptop. Can you believe that?
It's insane.
Yeah, that's what this guy did. I think it's amazing. I think it's phenomenal.
It's kind of like the thing when DCSS was out, like, amazing thing, but then everyone just, like, went all over him and just tried to kill him because they made it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing, man. This is what this guy has done. Okay, here's the thing. First, let me address a couple of issues before I address the advantages that freaks have and how they relate. First, and they even say this in here, security through obscurity. There is no security through obscurity, okay? You classify, whatever. Yeah, I can see certain information you do want to keep classified, you don't want to let out, whatever. But this kind of stuff, come on, it's public, okay? It's out. You can look at a lot of this stuff, all right? You can talk to people and get a lot of this information.
Something similar to this.
What's that?
Was it H2K2? I don't know if you saw it. When a guy released some software, he's compiled all these databases from public databases on people. He can find history on anyone's social security number.
Yeah, that's that.
Online.
Right, that's that PI database. I mean, that's the shit is out there. The info's out there, okay? It's not... Classifying that, hiding that, is not going to make things more secure because people can still find out about it. A determined adversary will find out about any system. Okay? They will study it. They have time. They have nothing but time. So, that's the first thing. Let me jump right into the freak advantages, okay? A freak. What does a freak do? Explores the telecommunications system. The loops, the wires, the tandem trunks, everything. They know where they go, right? I know, personally, at least if not localized, freaks know these things. I know where giant bundles of fiber optics run through a city and what other cities they connect, right? It's not secret, okay? Give me a backhoe and the West Coast doesn't talk to the East Coast, okay? It's not that difficult. Freaks have that advantage already. Freaks know this stuff. Maybe not to the scale. That's why this guy's, a PhD dissertation, for crying out loud. But they know this stuff. Locally, a city, right? A state. Maybe a region, right? So freaks, again, have an advantage. Exploring the telecommunications system will give you, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to, it'll give you power. It definitely will give you power. If you want to find out information about people, you can do it with a phone. You can solve problems with a phone. You can make friends with a phone. It's very powerful. Freaks do definitely have an advantage. Hackers do as well, because they know the shit in and out as well. So that's the freak news. And I hope, check this article out. It was on Slashdot. Go to the, old stories, whatever, and find that. Dissertation could be security threat. A really good read. Actually, I got this Washington Post. That's where it's from. I mean, and I'd love to see this guy's information. I mean, come on, that's just a dream come true. You know, before 9/11, you used to be able to get maps of, maps of the internet, everything. You get maps of anything. It was amazing. But not anymore. You can't get that kind of information, so... And again, hiding it isn't going to solve a damn thing. It's not going to secure anything. That's the freak news. Can I get some tones?
Hey, yo.
Beautiful, beautiful. We got a lot of Hacksaw news tonight. You got the Bin Rev. We're going to talk about a few things.
Harbinger X news.
Harbinger, that's right. Double H, Triple X news. We're going to start out with actually a couple little tips, right? A couple little Linux tips I got for you. It's been a long time since we had those. I have been screwing with SUSE 8.2 using the KDE by default. Yeah, it's nice, very nice. I like the KDE 3.1. I enjoy it. Is it 3.1 or 3.2?
2.
It's 3.2?
Yeah.
Okay. I like it, by the way. But I don't like Quanta, I do the website and a bunch of other shit in the Linux. I don't like Quanta, the HTML editor. and the FTP client, the KDE native FTP client, K-Bear. They both suck. God, they suck.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, big time. They suck ass. But I love GFTP and Bluefish. Love them. Those are my faves. So, of course, I installed those. Got the GTK stuff going, so they're running fine. But by default, you use either Netscape or Mozilla to preview pages in Bluefish. But I like Conker. I still use Conker, and I still like that. So, how do I get it to work? And did a little research, did a little searching on the web, and I found the command that'll do it. So, if anybody likes Bluefish, like me, hates Quanta, likes Bluefish, but wants to use Conker with Bluefish, you can do that. And what you do is you go to, crap, I didn't write this down, you go to Settings, and I think Preferences? Yeah, I think so. You'll find it. You'll see where you can go through all the stuff. You click the External tab, and here's what you enter. /opt/KDE3/bin/KFM client /exec/single quote %s. So you put that in, and then you'll click the Netscape or the Mozilla button, and you can use Conker to preview your web pages. Conker renders really well, by the way. It's a very good browser. It doesn't have gestures, which I miss. I mean, I really like that about Mozilla, but it's good shit. So, there's one tip for you. The second tip, Soho routers. Everybody loves them. You've been war driving. You find them with the default passwords, whatever. You leave it alone, of course. But, of course, naturally. But if you're doing a little scanning, doing a little nmap, use an ONP parser, pimp, you're going to find probably one or two, a few, if it's not a real proxy, you're going to find some 8080s HTT proxy. And again, if it's not a real proxy, it might be a router, a Soho router set up for remote administration. So, every time you see that proxy, it might not be a proxy, it might be a router. You'll find out if you try to use it, by the way, you'll get the prompt. So, check those things out. Just look, okay? Okay, if you're trying default passwords, leave it alone. Okay, if you're going to brute force it, okay, just leave it alone then. All right. So, a couple little tips for you in the Hacksaw news. Oh, but the best right now, baby. Bland is going to be giving us a review. Now, Bland, you know, is very dear to my heart. Dear to his heart, yes, yes. You know, we do a little hacking together, right? It's fun. It's invigorating. It's motivational.
Like Bonnie and Clyde.
It is. Whoever they are, that's exactly who we are. I'm on top, by the way. Bland is going to review Demo Linux. I think, was it last week or week before you did STD? It was 69.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago.
He did the Bootable Nopix STD Security Toolkit, whatever. And now he's going to review Demo Linux, and I believe it's from France. Is that correct?
It is French.
French. Love those French people. Let's hear it.
It sucks ass.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Good night. That's just a preview, by the way.
Yeah, that's now let me tell you how I really feel.
Yeah.
Linux ISO.org is a great place to go and get, you know, get all your distros and things like that, stuff you want to try out. And so I went there and I got the demo Linux, and it boots into, you do have a choice, you can go with KDE 2 or like GNOME with Starfish.
Whoa, KDE 2?
Yeah, 2.2.
Okay, is this like an old distro or something? Did you go to like the archives and get this?
No, it's their latest release.
Oh, okay, is it hardened or something? Okay, alright, go on, I'm sorry.
Hardened like a turret in the sun.
Got it. Easier to pick up that way.
Yeah, oh yeah, much, much so. I used it, honestly, I used it for about 2 minutes. It didn't recognize sound, didn't really do well with my video, didn't pick up my internet at all. Nothing. And I was like, you know what? I could sit here and try to make this work, or I could take the CD out and use Nopix.
Nopix?
And, you know, I thought it was being unfair.
you know, right, right after I threw the CD I wasted on demo Linux, after I threw it in the vicinity of the lab trash can, I thought to myself, I said, Bland, not everything can be Nopic.
Very true.
So don't judge everything by one bad fucking ass German distro. You can't. It's not fair.
No, it's almost an unfair advantage, seriously.
Demo Linux, it really does throb, dude. Do not use it. Stay far, far away from it.
Yes. Or, well, unless you want to research older desktop environments, I guess you could use it, right?
Well, if you don't want your sound or internet to work.
Yeah. If you don't want to go anywhere or listen to anything.
Yeah. You know, shit, it's the distro for you.
Poor Demo Linux. I kind of feel sorry for it now, man.
They get the Fuck Nut of the Month award from Bland.
Oh, that's it. The Fuck Nut of the Month goes to Demo Linux. I actually had, I got a Linux format magazine, which rocks, by the way, and it had a Demo Linux disc in it, and I tried it out, and I don't think anything worked either. And, you know, I didn't mind it looking old. I actually make my stuff look, like I take the KDE 3 point whatever, and I make it look like 2 because I like it, you know, and I turn off all the effects and stuff. I just like the functionality. But, yeah, that sounds like major ass.
It is. I can smell it from here.
Yeah, that sounds like real, like, burning ass. Just had Thai food burning ass.
Yeah, it's like sock polyqualit is what it smells like.
It smells like a sumo wrestler shit on a burning tire. I got that from SNL, by the way.
Most Mexican food.
Yeah. Like a bum was pissing on a pile of burning cat hair or something.
Oh,
dude. So, okay, all right. That's bad. That's all right. I'm sorry. That's evil. Dude, Bland, you are the Nopix of hackers, my friend.
Oh, I think.
Hey, enough ass kissing. I've got, how long have we been recording, by the way?
About 30. Somewhere there.
Okay, this will work then. Now, Mute, can you two-way in some call or three-way in some calls later?
Which kind of calls?
None.
No, I'm just kidding, you got it.
None of the calls we were talking about before.
Pussy!
Fuck you! No, alright, whatever.
Alright. Hey, I got the phone card.
Alright, I tell you what, here's what we'll do then. Call me a pussy. Big guy, you do this. You three-way over, talk to him, and then ask him, see if it's
Wait,
cool.
No way.
Oh, no, look who's a pussy now. Come on, what's up,
hey,
dude?
I didn't say you were one, okay? It was all Bland.
I think we should just drop it. I don't think we should do anything with that in the show at all.
That's post-show.
Yeah, totally. I'd like to experience it, but forget about the show, okay?
Yeah.
We'll use different names, and we'll make many, many hops before we do it. Okay, I'm going to end the Hacker News before we make some phone calls. Gather your numbers, guys. I got some book reviews. I have been reading like a mad dog. Books are my weakness, okay? I troll those used bookstores, the clearance shelves at all the big retailers. Love that stuff. I mean, I just can't get enough. I read like a mother. Doesn't seem to do any good, but anyways, I got three books here. Hold on. God damn it. There we go. Okay, the first, here they are. Woo! The first one I got, first one I purchased, now it's going to sound boring, TCP/IP Addressing, second edition. Designing and Optimizing Your IP Addressing Scheme. Does that sound exciting?
Totally.
Yeah, okay. Honestly, I really did. I thought, man, that's exciting. I bet you there's a lot of stuff I could learn, and I know there would be. And I started reading it, and guess what?
Sucks.
Yeah. No, it doesn't suck. It's a great book. It's a really good book. There's tons of information. If you want to know IP addressing in and out, this is it. But it really, you know, just like to a layperson, it would sound boring. It really was kind of boring. I couldn't keep going. So I put it down. Other than that, I read the first few chapters. Very good. It just kind of got dull. You know, I'm sure I should read it. I should learn more about TCP/IP addressing, and it would benefit me in my personal and vocational life, but I couldn't do it. So down this one went. The next one I picked up, by the way, that was a clearance book, dirt cheap. The next one I picked up at a used bookstore, oh man, was I excited when I found this, especially since I had eaten up the book that Bland sent me, the Telecommunications Handbook. Great book. Cannot pimp that one enough. I found Frame Relay Internetworking for $10.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And, it didn't end up being as good as I thought. The beginning was great. It was, you know, semi-technical. It started giving an introduction to the technology. I was really happy. And then it started getting into, well, got into the, you know, the business strategies of using Frame Relay and comparing it to other technologies. And then it started talking about dial-up solutions and all this other stuff. And I was like, I just want the specifics about the technology. I want freaking protocol breakdown and shit. And it just wasn't there. So, unfortunately, I didn't finish it. Maybe there's more of that stuff in the end. But, you know, I'm looking through it and I just don't see it. I just don't see it. It's more, decide whether Frame Relay is right for your company. Make implementation decisions that lower costs and bring better results. And that's what it is. It's almost a suit book, and it really, really didn't suit me, okay? Sorry, pun fully intended.
So many innuendos tonight.
What's that?
How many innuendos tonight?
Oh, more than you know.
It's all good.
Yeah, we got some good outtakes, by the way. Or at least one good one. Okay. So the we got one good one out of Bland, anyways.
Out of another innuendo?
That was.
All I planned to be good for one.
Oh, I got to take a drink after that.
Flush it out of your mouth.
Oh! First the pussy comment, and then that. Oh, my God. That's okay. And he made fun of my retainer. I don't believe it. That is slick.
Yeah, that shit hurts.
Yeah, it did. It was brutal. But it was worth it. Well worth it. Okay, we're talking about the Flashbox video, by the way. So, the next book I found, and I just picked this up this weekend, and I've already read it all. Finished it today. Hacker's Challenge. I got it for $7. Woot! $7. Very good book. What's the original price? $30.
Was it a bargain?
It was a bargain book at one of the large chains. How many pages? With index, 350 pages. And I'm sure you can imagine what it is if you don't know what it is already. It gives you little scenarios. And I'm going to go a little deeper into this review because I actually read it and loved it. Oh, man, I loved it. This is opposite of Demo Linux, this book. It is so good. It starts with scenarios, 20 scenarios. And you read a scenario, and it'll give you the complexity rating, the mitigation rating, you know, high, medium, low, all that stuff, all the way up to devilish. And then it gives you questions at the end. And then in the back of the book, the rear half, are 20 solutions. So I started reading, and I'm not an expert at phones, I'm not an expert at computers, right? But it interests me to no end. I want to learn it. It's so phenomenally interesting. I just started eating this stuff up, started reading the first ones, and it gives you logs and stuff. Like, you have to go through logs and find out what time the attack started and what exploit it was used, and it's phenomenal.
And that when I picked that book up, I started reading it, I was like, damn, this is really going to teach you something.
Oh yeah, and it does. And honestly, I didn't think that when I first picked it up. I was like, oh man, you got to be an expert already. You know, you got to be a security expert to know all this shit, right? You got to be Zapperlink to get all these questions. No, but you don't. And check this out. I'll tell you how. I'll tell you why. So I started looking at it, and I didn't want to go through the logs. You know, people who get paid to go through logs don't want to go through logs. So I started to just skim them. I just read the questions. I was like, man, I can't answer that. And I go back, I read the solution. I was like, wow, that's interesting. And then I would start, wow, no kidding. And then I go back to the logs and look at it. You know, sometimes they put the logs again in the back, you know, in the solutions. And you can see it right there, or sometimes not. So, I'd look it up, like, wow, there it is. No shit. You know, a lot of Unicode exploits in the beginning, by the way, too. But don't get hung up on that. I would progress. And soon the low complexity attacks, I said, hey, I know what that's that attack. And sure as shit, it was. And soon I was going through the logs, and even if I didn't know what the attack was or I wasn't familiar with the operating system, like Solaris, I would say, hey, look, right there. There it is. And I started to get it. It was amazing. Also about the Soho routers. That's in here. And I, actually, I got I put two and two together. They talk about Soho routers here and owning them remotely. And then I said, wait a minute. And I looked through all my logs, and sure as shit, that really happens. That's where that tip comes from, by the way. And really, not to pimp myself, but I think I really progressed. I really think I learned something from this book, something tangible, something I could use. And I cannot recommend this book enough. You don't have to read it like a quiz and try to answer the questions and go to the bat. You know, you just read it your own way. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure. Read the problem. Go back and read the solution right away, and you will have a blast. It was so much fun. I cannot put it down. It is such a good book. I loved it. I really did love it. So anything that would make me go through logs, right, is the shit. And that is Hacker's Challenge, and it's by Shipman, Mike Shipman. Great book. Go pick that up. What's the year? I think all the stuff was dated 2001, so I think it's like 01 or 02. Let me see here. La, 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 la. And I'll get you the ISBN number. Yeah, it's 2001. Still a good book. It's still a very good book. And some of the stuff, sadly enough, would probably be pretty applicable. Maybe not as much now, but you'd be surprised. The ISBN number, for anybody interested, is 0-07-219384-0. Hacker's Challenge. Test your incident response skills using 20 scenarios. Great. If there's a number 2, I'm going to buy it. Those are a few book reviews. And believe me, don't look down on these other books, okay? I still got them. I still may read them. Right? I go back to books all the time and read them. I reread them, or I'll read stuff I didn't read before. Or for anything, I'll use it as a reference. It's still good to have. So a book's a book, and I'll love it, and I will keep it. You can't beat reading. That sounds like a PSA, doesn't it?
Well, there was one that was like Catch Me Reading or something.
Catch Me Reading Porn in the Bathroom. Okay, I say it's time for phone calls, baby. Oh yeah. Okay, you can three-way, right, Mute?
Well, I believe I can.
Okay.
So what do you want me to do?
I got some numbers here.
Okay.
I started writing down numbers that would show up on my answering machine. A lot from those automated frickin'... Oh, there's that lady's social security number and her name. God, I feel sorry for her. I know where she was born now too, from her social security number. Let me see. Okay, try that. I have no idea what this is, by the way. It may flop, it may not. Let's try this one. You ready?
Yep.
It's 800-677-2741.
Okay. Let me call that.
Awesome. Now, flash back, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to flash. As soon as I dial, I'll flash.
All right.
Well, no, I got the phone card.
You don't need a phone card.
Oh yeah, well, hey.
You don't have to, and you don't have to opt to bird either. I don't think this will...
Oh, this should be fine. Yeah. I did all of my age, that's why. One second.
Mute is now dialing. You got any numbers planned?
No, nothing decent.
Ah, well, I don't have anything decent. I do have some that...
Our office is currently closed, but the call is very important to us. Our standard business hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Thursday, Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you would like to leave a message in the voice message center, please do so, and we will return your call. Invalid entry. For help, press star H. You are recording a message. To approve, press pound. To record from here, press 1. To play back, press 2, 3. To delete, press star D. To approve, press pound. To record from here, press 1. To delete, press star D.
My ass is burning because I use demo Linux. Where's my shit?
Invalid entry. For help, press star H. You are recording a message. To approve, press down.
My ass is burning because I use demo Linux.
To approve, press pound. To make private, press 1. To send, press pound.
Want to make it private? Yeah.
Private. To remove private status, press 1. To send, press pound.
Invalid entry. For help, press star H.
Whatever. Hang up. That was good.
That was pointless.
Yeah, it was. But we learned about a nice little voicemail system. Okay, now, I've got a number here. This is for Bash. B-A-S-H. And no, it's not the shell that you all know and love. Man, I know people that swear by Seashell. Yeah, I guess it does some things nice now. Anyways, Bash, that's a show on Rant Radio. I think it's on Sunday nights, and I think they're out of Scottsdale. A-Z, in the hizzy for shizzle my bizzle. Okay, their number, let's call them up. Let's see what happens. The number is 877-900-8414. That's Bash, the radio show on Rant Radio. Let's see what happens.
All right, one moment.
All right.
Be quick. Just be silent because I might be boxing out. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so 1 second.
All right. I'm not going to be silent because I don't want to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vampire Radio?
Yeah. Hello? Did it ring?
Going on the air.
Hello? 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 You can hang up. Damn, that sucks. I don't want a freaking answering machine. Man, I got some good numbers here, but I can't really call them on the air, unfortunately.
Got one? No.
You've got...
I know.
Mute's got a really good one.
I know.
That's like the best number ever. Oh, man. If you can... I've got some... I think we tried those already. Hold on a second here. Oh, wait a minute. I got them. They're in my... I've been writing phone numbers on this notepad here. This notepad that somebody sent me with an order that rocks. An order for Ben Rev, and I use it all the time, I must say. And where to go? Damn. Ah, it's not there. All right, let me look for the freak notebook here. You don't have any numbers, Bland?
I'm trying to farm some right quick, though.
Oh, okay, good deal. Yeah, I can't believe this. I swear I had all my numbers ready. They're not there. Oh, this is another... As I go... Well... yeah, what the hell. As I go through my freak notebook, I find another name and social security number. Where did I get that? Why do I have it? I don't... Well, yeah, I guess I do collect them, but it's like they drop in my lap for crying out loud. It's really weird, and I collect them just to have them, right? Just to know that, hey, people can get owned so easy if they don't, you know, if they're not careful with their shit. I was actually skating the other day, and I think I crashed, and I fell down, and when I looked up, you know, laying on the ground, writhing in pain, I saw a piece of paper neatly folded, in, like half a sheet of paper folded up in force, and I grabbed it. Because it looked just too nice, you know, folded up like that. I was like, wow, why is a piece of paper like that folded up on the ground like that? Picked it up, opened it up, and it was somebody's pay stub. So not only do I have their name and their social security number, I know how much they make. So not good. Yeah, watch your shit, everybody. I know you guys do, so I'm not sweating it. You guys and gals. Next. Here, no. Do you call a long-distance number?
Got the phone card.
Okay, this one, this is actually, I wrote down, when you used to call me from your camp.
Places.
You'd call me from places?
Yeah.
With the calling card, and I got three different numbers continually. 720, 770, and 770 area codes. And they give a cool error message if you call the number that shows up when you're using a calling card.
Just call us.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
It's 770-657-1020.
Wait, 657 what?
657-1020.
1020? I won't bother with the phone card.
All right.
You flash over.
Yeah, it'll be quick.
Yep.
Hope I didn't call it already.
Are returning a call to a prepaid calling service system, and the party that called you cannot be reached at this number. You are returning a call to a prepaid calling service system, and the party that called you cannot be reached at this number.
I actually think I called that before. I think I called that during the show when I was trying to get a hold of you. And then we called that one. Fuck, I don't have any numbers, man.
Yeah, I got one.
All right.
One that Mute gave me.
Let's hear it.
All right, it is... Let me open up the text. Okay, now this is... Actually, no, it wasn't Mute. I'm sorry. This was Hack and Slash.
Nice.
They don't give you numbers. Yeah, Hack and Slash gave me this number. He said it was like his favorite number in the universe. 800? Mm-hmm. 575?
Mm-hmm.
3833.
Okay, one second.
Silence.
Back for more. I'd like to grab you from behind.
I can't even hear it. I didn't hear a damn thing. It was gay porn, wasn't it? Well, shit, I have lots of those. Oh! We didn't even hear it. We didn't get to hear it.
Yeah, cut it out.
Alright, try this number.
Awesome.
Try this number. You ready? It's 877 878 7667.
This isn't gay porn, is it?
No.
Okay, one second.
What if it was? That's okay.
Thank you for calling the AT&T Global Military Saver Plus Center. Your call may be recorded or monitored for quality purposes.
Yeah.
If you have
any
questions about your existing AT&T Direct Billed calling card, this card is billed separately from other AT&T services, please press or say 1. If you would like to order AT&T's Global Military Saver Plus plan, please press or say 2. For any other inquiries on your existing AT&T Direct Billed calling card account, please press or say 3.
Your call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Same here.
Thank you for calling the AT&T Global Military Saver Plus Center. Your call may be monitored or recorded for quality purposes.
Thank you for calling the Global Military Savers Plus Center. My name is Brandon. How may I help you?
Hi, I'm sorry, your name is Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Brandon. My name is Mike, and I've got an AT&T calling card. I don't think it's a special military card. Is that the only things that you deal with?
Yes, sir. We do have regular calling cards here as well.
Okay, actually, this is one I bought from Walmart. And I was wondering, is it possible for you to check the minutes on this card?
Unfortunately, this is the direct bill card department. I would be happy to transfer you to Walmart prepaid.
Yeah, please do.
Is that number for future references?
Yes, please.
All right, it's 1-888-854-6741.
Beautiful, thank you. Mute?
I'm here.
Hang up.
Hang up.
Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, I've got a number. No one from you.
No, so why? I have another number, too.
Well, I don't know what this one is. I mean, I found it written on the back of one of my CD cases. Oh, crap.
Great.
All right, 877.
One second, I gotta open up stickies. 877.
2-2-2-2-2-2-3-7-5.
Oh, hey, you're laughing.
Does it spell anything? What is 2375? Let's see. Okay. Is that beef or something? Like hot beef?
Oh, no horseshit. I wouldn't write down gay porn.
E-P-L.
Try it out.
I don't know what it is.
What?
Call them up.
Oh, one second.
He's not back yet.
attention. Your call may be monitored or recorded to assure quality customer service. You've breached Verizon Online Internet Services.
Hello?
We're using a system that can understand you when you speak.
You there?
Yeah.
Access
yeah.
your account. I need the phone number associated with
no!
your phone. After the tone,
drop them.
Or a key.
Yeah.
Actually, so you know.
What?
The number changed. You didn't hear the error message.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought you guys were there, but it didn't flash over quick enough.
Well, you should have, because I'm sitting here with silence whispering into the mic. And I'm not going to edit. I'm not editing anything. All right, try this number. I actually... Somebody wrote this on a piece of paper and gave it to me, yeah, and it says, crack this B&B, whatever, okay.
Oh, no.
We're not going to, but here's a number, ready?
Yeah.
It's 888-888-5554, and flash over quick.
5554, okay.
Yeah, as soon as you dial, flash over.
Okay, 1 second.
All right.
He's dialing.
For calling Washington Diamond. We are currently closed. Washington Diamond reopens Thursday, July 10th at 10 a.m.
If you know the extension, you may enter it now. For assistance during business hours, press 1. For directions, hours, a list of extensions, and other information, press 2. For directions, press 1. For business hours, press 2. For a list of extensions, press 3. For Richard at extension 220, press 2. For Tom at extension 300, press 3. For Walter at extension 290, press 4. For Sharon at extension 270, press 5. For Maggie at extension 310, press 6. To return to the previous menu, press...
One moment, please.
I hope you guys can hear this. I'm holding the mic right against the phone.
Hi, this is Maggie Rose at extension 310. Please leave a message.
If you know the extension, you may enter it now. For assistance during business hours, press...
One moment, please.
I know the system.
What is it?
Audio box. Audio... Audix. Audix.
What's the command?
Shit. Put the menu.
Because pound takes you to the end of the message.
Hi, this is Maggie Rose at extension 310. Please.
Recording erased.
If you know the extension, you may ask.
Anyways, hang up.
Press 1 for directions.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're not going to learn about that voicemail system on the air. Learn about it later. Okay, yeah, probably, I know there's lots of people that could just go fly right through that, and they just screwed up by leaving all those extensions on there. And you know their freaking passwords are... their extension plus one or something like that. It's very, very common, by the way. That's it, man. That's RFA. We've got some good outtakes for this show. All right, everybody. Check out BinRev Radio and check us next week. Late.
Hey, everybody, and I just wanted to say, Hack and Slash is not gay, but his boyfriend is. I love your mom.